What would you say you do here?
Have a good time all the time.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
I want you to be realistic.
What do you love about music?
Being realistic.
As the story grows.
Welcome back to As the Story Grows. My name is Trav, and tonight I have I'm doing a dual guest thing again. I have my guest slash co-host would be Seth W. there on the other end of the line. How you doing, Seth?
Travis, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Good to be back.
I like the microphone, quality microphone.
Mm.
You had to buy that extra stand to keep it away from your beard.
How I roll. Yeah, because this thing scratches.
Yes, it does. Earbuds. It always sounds like you're in a wind tunnel.
Can't have that.
Yeah.
Quality.
And then tonight's guest is going to be Mr. Dan Gailey of the band Phineas. Yeah, that guy.
Hello, everyone.
How you doing, man?
Dude, I'm great, man. I'm great. How have things been?
Things have been, man. I was thinking today. When did I see him? Like it was. I don't have a lot of stories with Dan. I have one. We intersected at one point because I was friends with the Come in the Archetype, and you were actually in BTA for a while. Y'all were touring around, and y'all crashed on my floor. See, I'm talking to the Come in the Archetype. My y'alls start coming out. My southern draw.
That'll happen.
Y'all crashed at my house, and I met you that way. It was like, oh, this is our new guitarist, Dan. Hey, man, there's the floor. And then we got up and went to eat somewhere. When was that? What tour was it?
Dude, that has been like 70 fortnights ago. I don't even know. Like, it's been a long time.
I didn't know there was going to be math. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I think a fortnight is 2 weeks. I think, I don't know.
140 weeks?
We'll just say that it's been several years. We're not going to do math today.
Yeah, I think it's been more than 150, whatever.
Yeah, probably.
It's been a long time. But anyway, yeah, you've kept yourself quite busy, it looks like. I want to go back to, oh God, this is such a standard podcast. Let's go back to the beginning. But when I met you, you were like the young gun that just joined Becoming the Archetype to replace John Starr, who replaced Alex, who replaced John Starr, you know what I mean? It was like,
yeah,
that rotating.
There's a long line.
Yeah. So you were like the 19th guitarist in Becoming the Archetype, but you were actually only the fourth dude. It was weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
But how old were you when you joined Becoming the Archetype?
Oh man, I want to say it was probably like maybe 20.
Gunslinger. Look at that.
Yeah.
My God, you were underage in my house. Can't believe you drank all that. I'm joking. I'm joking. He didn't. He knew anything.
Underage.
Don't 20s. Tell my parents.
Mom and Dad can't listen to this podcast though.
They don't know how to use the internet. It's okay.
That's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah, right. Mom will be tweeting me.
Daniel better not have
a... No, I'm kidding.
Mom's texting is just as awful. So
yeah. No punctuation. Just yeah, terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, you're from Georgia, so you were. I want to know the story as to how Becoming the Archetype found you, or you found them, or can you fill us in with that?
For sure. Yeah. So I kind of grew up playing in like a lot of local bands and stuff throughout early high school and things like that. And BTA would always play this venue called the Pivot that we would all go to. So we got to know them really, really well. And I ended up working at a Starbucks that Duck, the drummer at the time, worked at.
Oh, yeah. So, I remember him mentioning that.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, we worked together for a real long time, and they all knew that I played guitar and stuff. And I remember, like, I was also kind of – that was around the time I was thinking about maybe going to college. I had a full-ride wrestling scholarship, and, like, just, like – they were like, hey, man, like, we got this tour in South Africa, and John isn't going to do it. So if you want to do it, it's yours. And I was, like, in the parking lot, like, to, like, register for classes. And I was just like, all right, like, I guess I'm going to leave. And
Stop the press. When you say full ride, you're talking tuition covered.
Yeah, man.
For wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So how does one maintain, like, what if you agree to it, go to school on the full wrestling thing, and get hurt or suck? Like, do you have to pay it back, or do you have to maintain a GPA? Like, how does that work?
Dude, to be honest with you, I don't even know. That was,
you don't know?
Like, that was about as far as I got, and then I was just like, well, I guess I'm not going to do this anymore, because wrestling is probably not going to send me to South Africa to play music. So,
no doubt about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was, like, a pretty big decision. But, I mean, my thought process kind of sitting there in the parking lot was, like, man, like, I could go to this school to wrestle and, you know, be at the bottom of my weight class. And, you know, like, best case scenario, I make it to the Olympics. So that's probably not going to happen. so this just seems like the kind of better. So that's what I did. And I'm, you know, still doing it. So...
Yeah,
it was a totally good move, I guess.
Ready to register to go to school and got a phone call.
Yeah, man. Crazy.
Something about the timing of Becoming the Archetype. Everything seemed to happen, like, on the way out the door or the way in the door or something. Like, there's a lot of stories of, like, man, we were just about to leave and, or yeah, this, or that, you know what I mean?
For sure.
Cool. So the first thing you did with BTA was South Africa?
Pretty much. We did, like, a couple, like...
Crazy.
I just knew that John, like, wasn't going to be able to do that tour. And then I don't remember.
John got a full wrestling scholarship to go to college.
Yeah, and he went to
there was a sudden opening.
And, he's in the Olympics now. It's pretty nice. He's huge now.
Wow.
But, yeah, like, there were, like, a couple other runs because it just so happened John kind of decided, like, oh, well, I'm going to, you know, start not doing this effective immediately kind of thing. So they were like, hey, can you learn these songs in like 10 days and then come on and do these other shows with us? So it was like really, really fast paced. And I remember, like, I think the first show was in Pennsylvania, actually. I don't remember what town it was, but I remember learning like a couple songs in the van, like on the 10-hour drive to that first show.
Wow.
So yeah, like really fast paced. And Phineas was like kind of a similar story. Just like I had all these certain songs to learn in like a really short amount of time. So
I definitely want to get to that story too, because you replaced the original guitarist. Phineas has been around, I think I read, 01?
Yeah, I mean, it's like all different people now, but it's I guess like the Phineas that people know now has only really been doing stuff since like 2012.
Right, so. Right. It really looks like they kind of turned a corner recently. This is one of those brand new band, but they're not a new band kind of a situation.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Wow, that's amazing. I think you found your niche. You're the guitarist that, like, when the first guitarist can't do something, Dan's like, I got it. And he just steps in and kills
him. Hey, man. I mean, I don't know. I've been super lucky just to, like, end up where I've ended up with people. I don't know, man. That's just the way it happens.
I don't think you're that lucky. I think a lot of it has to do with skill.
Well, thank you.
There's not a lot of ass kissing coming your way, but the one thing that I will say about bands that you've been in, I know Becoming the Archetype inside out because I, you know, they're friends and I love them.
Yeah.
And, listening to Phineas, I started listening to Phineas because I heard you joined, frankly.
Awesome.
Me too.
Yeah, it's metalcore. It's definitely fallen into that metalcore category, but we all know there's a lot of weird, bad metalcore out there where it's just chug, chug, chug breakdowns, and there's not a lot of metal in it.
Yeah.
It just sounds like tough guy, hardcore breakdowns. You bring metal. Like, you've got legitimate old school chops.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, no, and I dig it. I really like that. It's coming from an old man who actually listened to metal back when it was, you know what I mean? But solos and picking and stuff like that, there's metalcore out there that, like, they're ashamed to play solos for some reason. It's not cool.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. I don't get it.
No, it's not
if
cool.
It doesn't sound like Van Halen, it's not, I don't care about it.
Nice.
Yeah, I was watching, there's like a new playthrough video, I think, on your Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, that got put out today.
Holy moly, it's all like, I don't know.
Oh, man. I haven't even seen that yet.
Yeah, it's really good. So.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, so, like our goal is just to, like, all of these new bands are kind of doing what you said, and no one is, like, right. I mean, you know, like, I'm 26 years old. Like, the older metal stuff is kind of the stuff that I grew up listening to, you know? So it's, like, we might as well just, like, try and do that. No one else is doing that now, so it's,
What drives me crazy about it, it sounds like the old scholar now, but what drives me crazy about it is when you listen to metal back in the day, the rhythm guitar was so busy. It was really kind of, you know, there was a lot of thrash. The rhythm guitar was full. There wasn't a lot of stop-start stuff. There wasn't any of that segregated palm music.
Yeah.
It was really full. Mm-hmm. And then you got the over top of it, and it just got noisy and cluttered and everything. Mm-hmm. And then metalcore comes out, and it's like, pause, rest, which makes miles of room for someone to shred, and they don't. They go, and they keep back, and I'm like, dude, tear one off. And for some reason, they don't.
Yeah,
metal is more accommodating for solos now than it ever has been.
Absolutely,
nobody's freaking doing it.
Yep. Well, so, we are.
Good
we
on
are.
You, mate.
Yeah.
Good for you. All right. So, Becoming the Archetype officially never broke up. It just kind of stopped, and everybody kind of moved in different directions and everything. Mm-hmm. But what was the official like? Are you still in BTA? If they ever call.
Yeah. Technically, I am. And we're actually all talking again recently. Like, I don't know how much I can say or whatever, but we never disbanded. And, like, I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you, like, we're not gonna tour. I'm got my plate full as it is, and the rest of those guys have families now and stuff. But there have been, like, talks of new music in the pretty close future. So.
And this would be the most recent IM lineup?
No.
No.
Yeah, that's all I'll say. But right. For now, I don't know how much I can say. But
okay.
That's fun.
So it's exciting stuff. But the band never technically broke up. You know, I can remember the last tour, which got now close to 3 years ago or something, which is insane to think about. Like Seth had just had a kid, you know, like all, you know, Jason Duck, all those guys had already kind of moved on, and we got some new guys. But it was still kind of just like, well, this is like Seth's band at this point, so, you know, like he's kind of making all the calls, and that's fine.
Right.
So yeah, it just kind of stopped. Like, I remember our last show was like a festival in like the DC area, and I drove home, and nothing really happened since then. So I moved to Atlanta just for like a kind of change of pace. I was like, you know, well, if I'm going to be home more, I don't want to be like I grew up in a super tiny town, so it's, I don't want to be stuck in just like the middle of nowhere. I can't do that anymore. So I moved, and you know, one of those things was like, I need to figure out how to fill my time. So this is where it kind of starts to get crazy. I got a job at a sandwich shop called Witch Witch. It's really good, but I started working there just like minimum wage and worked there for like a year and a half. And just like really, really just like busted my butt to do like the best that I possibly could. And ended up moving all the way up to general manager and like, you know, kept getting raises. So things were going really well. Then all of a sudden I just get this phone call from Bryce, who plays bass in Phineas. He's just like, hey man, like, are you still trying to tour? Like, we kind of ran into like a problem. Like, we need a guitar player. And I was just like, yes, get me the hell out of here. So, but what's crazy?
And you were your parent? Were your parents like, seriously, again? Or are they supportive?
No, like they get it a little more now. I can remember joining BTA. They were just like, what in the world? You know, they didn't know that any bands got that were metal got any bigger than my local bands did.
Then, sure.
You know? So yeah. They have a much better understanding now. But the crazy part is, I'm still the general manager of the CMO store.
What?
They just let me keep coming. I've literally had to like fire people from the road before, and like have to do inventory on there. It's nuts, man. Like, it's
okay,
crazy.
Okay.
So, what?
Stop right there. There must be a glitch with the sound, because I thought I heard you say you are the general manager of a sandwich shop in Georgia while you're on the road.
Yep.
Serious.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. I had a job that has been cool at all with me traveling. Like, I always have to quit jobs and then find a new one, like, every tour. With Phineas, that would be really hard because we tour a lot more than BTA. But, yeah, like, the district manager is just, like, a year or two older than me, and, like, he just gets it, man, and he's just like, yeah, like, do your thing. I'll cover for you when you're gone. You can handle whatever business you can from the road, and then when you come back, we'll just pick up where you left off. And
are you salaries? Is he paying you?
No, that was my only thing, was just like, I don't want to be salary, because when I'm home, I'm just going to get stuck here like 90 hours a week and get paid crap.
Right.
So I was kind of in a position to where they needed a manager, and I was like the only guy. Like, so they wouldn't have to train anyone. So just, like, kind of had to play the game and be like, you know, like, I want to stay hourly, but I want a nice raise, you know. So just to not, like, get in a position where I'd be screwed, you know. So
sure.
It worked out great. Like, and that's – I still do that every time I come home. So
you're still – you're managing from the road, but they pay you when you're actually in the brick and mortar.
So yeah, yeah.
So the agreement is you have a job when you get home.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. That's an amazing setup. That's pretty cool.
We keep having that discussion. I mean, bands got to be multifaceted. Musicians got to have their hands in a bunch.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of anybody managing a sandwich shop without being in a sandwich shop.
Yeah.
Well.
Nuts.
No, that's great. I mean, if it's working, I mean, you know.
Yeah, man.
Cool. So, okay, what was the guy's name from Phineas that called you?
Bryce okay. Kelly. Yeah.
How did you know Phineas? So, how did they know you enough to call you, I should ask?
So, like, we would kind of run into one another on, you know, just, like, random shows around the country, because Phineas had been touring at that point, and, you know, it was like we would see each other here and there, and then Bryce's girlfriend actually used to date a guy from Georgia that I'm really good friends with, so I'd known her for a really long time, too. So through all of these things, you know, we kind of became friends.
Okay.
So, yeah.
No former bands or anything, just mm-hmm. know each other.
Yeah, okay. Just knew each other, yeah.
So their guitarist quit
mm-hmm.
and called you, and you said you had
12 like, hours?
Not about 15 minutes to learn all of the songs. No. Like,
uploaded
it,
say,
like,
you stuck the chip in your ear and boop.
Like, a lot of stuff happened to where, you know, their guitar player left, and I remember him calling me, and they were on tour. Now, for those of you that don't know, Phineas is just a one guitar band. Like, there's not another dude.
Like Van Halen.
Exactly, man. So we have what's called like a reamp, which just plays like all of those easy like rhythm tracks that you're talking about, essentially, and it's just like a computer that plays it.
Right.
But Phineas was on tour when this guy like went home, when their old guitar player went home. So they had like three shows left, and they still played them. Like they played them with just the reamp track. And crazy, man. They were like kind of stuck in a bind, and we're just like, well, like we have to do this. And kids were still super supportive, but Bryce called me like that day, and they were just like, you know, you're like the first guy that we thought of, which was awesome. I can remember listening to the songs, just being like, holy crap, man. Like, this is like, it's definitely a step up from like BTA riffs, and BTA riffs like weren't easy, you know, but Phineas songs are insanely hard. So there was like a time, you know, for a minute there that I was like, man, I don't know. Maybe I've like bit off more than I could chew with this, but you know, just practiced a whole lot. You know, probably had 10 days, 2 weeks to learn the songs and everything. And then I flew out. That's another thing that's a lot different with Phineas is we're spread out all over the country. Two of the guys are in California. Bryce lives in Iowa. I live in Atlanta.
Wow.
So I am constantly on an airplane going somewhere. It's nuts, man.
Wow. That's crazy. I'm the more and more people I talk to, I'm blown away that not everybody lives in the same town. I guess I have the old mentality of every Tuesday and Thursday you guys get together to practice, that kind of thing.
Yeah. People ask us all the time, like, you know, do you guys practice a lot? And it's just like we've literally maybe had one collective band practice since I played in the band. Like,
oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Really?
One.
You've been in Phineas since 2014 and you've only practiced once.
Yep. I mean, we're on the road so much. We have like 10-day breaks literally, and then we're, you know, doing the same thing for the next month or two. So it's like, wow, there's not really a need. Whenever we did this new record, that was kind of like, we were like, okay, well, we need to play some new songs. We should probably get together and like rehearse those. So.
Wow. Cool. All right.
Yeah. I was going to say, with all that time, all that traveling stuff, how do you write all that music for the album?
Yeah. A lot of it has to be done like in the van, just like on the way to shows. Like Sean, our singer, is like a really big help. He's actually, a lot of people don't realize he's actually like a pretty good guitar player.
Okay.
So he came up with a lot of cool ideas, and then we tracked the whole thing pretty much like minus vocals at my house. So I have like a little studio set up in my bedroom, and whenever I would get free time, I would just write and record just all the ideas. I'd done that in the past for BTA, but we never actually used the material.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured this time, why not? Just like, so I'm doing all this work for pre-production, we might as well use it, like if it's going to stay the same, you know?
Right.
So it ended up being like a really cool way to do a record, because a lot of times you'll go into a studio and you've only got, what, like 3 weeks, a month to get everything finished. And, you know, I was able to work on this record for like five, six months.
Yeah.
It ended up being pretty beneficial.
Do you feel I'm not gonna ask the question. Do you think Phineas lacks from not being able to be in the same room? But do you feel like a definite shift now that it's 2015? This is kind of the direction music is going, where it seems like 95% of it is file sharing, and once we finally get together, I mean, bands that are like. Like my little local band where my friends come over, and we're basically a garage band in my basement. That's different, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm talking bands that are like touring. Like I talked to Andrew from Torch, and you know these guys are that like Braid. They're all kind of still around Chicago, except their drummer moved to Nashville. You know, there's always one dude that lives like you said, Iowa. I'm laughing like.
Yeah. I don't know why he lives there. It sucks. I don't know.
But this is kind of the nature of things. This is the beast anymore. Is it just seems like.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty normal now, and honestly, I think it really just takes one really good understanding, and like, not just in my circumstance. Like, I happen to be the guy that like, you know, like does a lot of the writing. You know, for Phineas, but this can be with any band. Just like one guy that's really got to like good idea at like what the band wants, and then you know you send stuff out and you make changes from there. Everybody kind of gives their input, and they're just like, "Hey, I think that we should do this to this part instead." And it's right. This has been really the first experience that I've had writing like this too. But it's not anywhere near as hard as I thought it would be, you know, because BTA was kind of that old school, like get in a room and jam together, you know, because they're all like 80 years old, so they've been doing that. For years and years, so...
Shut up, you little shit. They're still 10 years younger than I am.
But yeah, it was a cool...
They're stuck in their ways.
They don't want to change, Grandpa. Yeah, I know. Seth Heacox is all like, I'm a dad, blah, 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 dad this, dad tweet, dad. And then he's like, I just turned 30. And I'm like, oh, shut up.
Right? He's only 30?
He just turned 30. Yeah. How old? How old are you now, Dan?
26.
26?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
All right. Let's not dwell on that. That's gonna make me. I can't cry. Well, my teardrops are all dried up. So that's kind of interesting. I didn't think of that when Phineas called you. We're playing we're playing rhythm tracks with no guitarist. Can you come? Mm-hmm. Join the band, we need a guitarist. I guess you weren't really thinking, like, the dynamic to that band, if I join Phineas, I'm going to be, like, writing. Like all of a sudden, it's like, well, you're the guitarist. I mean, you're a bass player and your singer that plays guitar are obviously going to have input, but mm-hmm. when it comes down to the guitar, it's on you. Like, were you thinking the opportunity to be there, or was it just like whatever, get on the road, get out here, play? It's banned.
That was essentially my role. Literally the first BTA practice as well. I can remember walking into Duck's apartment, and I brought like my amp and like my guitar and stuff. And they were like, for those of you that know, they're all like super super laid back dudes. Like, so yeah. I get into the room, and there's, like, two acoustic guitars, and Duck just has practice pads. And that was the practice. And I couldn't play any solos or anything. They were just like, oh, I'm sure it's fine, like, whatever. Like, you know the riff, so that's good. And then right after that practice ended, they were just like, so, like, you're going to need to start, like, writing stuff pretty soon. So that was, like, actually, like, as soon as I joined BTA, that was kind of, like, expected of me then, too. So this time around, it was a little bit easier because I had already had to step inside of, like, you know, trying to learn how to make, like, the BTA sound. So for Phineas, it was just like, okay, like, I've done this once before. Like,
I see.
You kind of just take what the band's already done and kind of just add, like, your own little flavors here and there. So
I see. Interesting.
Yeah.
Seth, what do you got? Hop in there.
So Daniel was talking about the pre-production for this latest album, and then I remember being in the studio with Daniel doing becoming the archetype for 3 or so weeks. And how long did this latest album then take to record?
Well, it was kind of split up into a lot of different places. Like I said, I did a lot of just the instrumentation side of things at my house. And then we did like a really long winter tour. At the very end of that, we went into, I won't even really call it a studio. Like, it was kind of just like the guy brought his studio to us in Iowa. So we basically just like, he kind of wanted to like recheck my work because it was my first time like actually engineering things for a record. It ended up like all working out fine. And we'd spent, I want to say we had like 2.5-3 weeks to work on vocals and stuff.
Yeah.
And then just kind of like whatever else, like I kind of reworked some solos and things like that.
Cool.
And then, you know, I got sent off to be mixed and mastered, but the whole process, man, was like a while, you know, because I had, I don't know, probably 5-6 months to just work on.
You were just gluing, it all together, right?
Yeah.
Tough to put a timeline on it when it's like 3 hours here, 4 hours here, 3 straight days.
Yeah, for sure. But it was nice to not feel that pressure of just like, you know, I've only got like 3.5 weeks here to do this, so I need to kind of, you know, really make sure I'm like super prepared. And it's just super stressful, you know.
Right.
Like,
yeah, I remember that. I'm not in the band or nothing, but like, it's like, oh my God, what? I hope they get this done. Like, I remember the last couple of days or whatever, it was like, oh, we still got this to do. We still got that. It's like, what? It was like a reality TV.
Yeah, it can be crazy, man. Like, whenever you're, you know, just kind of like looking at the board on everything that you have left to finish, Seth, I'm sure you remember, like, you know, we would cross things out as we completed them. Yeah. And just whenever the days are kind of dwindling down, you're just like, oh my gosh, like, how am I gonna, you know, like.
So. Yeah.
I don't think anyone's ever walked out of a studio going, ah, that wasn't stressful. Everything worked out great.
Yeah, seriously.
The minute you get in there, you're like, we're not moving fast enough. We're wasting money.
Yep. Pretty much.
You use the bathroom on your own time, mister. You pee afterwards.
Yeah. Another big problem that I don't think a lot of people realize is that, like, a lot of producers are just dudes, so a lot of time is spent, like, watching, like, YouTube videos and things like that. They're just like, oh, I gotta show you this really, like, funny thing that I saw, and it's just like, no, you need to, like, record me, like, threading these solos or whatever, you know, like.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
They're the ones that want to show you YouTube videos are also the ones that are like, guys, I gotta be out by 7:30 tonight.
Yeah, man.
We didn't get started until 4.
I remember coming back to on the road with you guys, and you played in Jersey. Yeah. I remember you guys offered, you know, for me to come along, and I was like, no, I got this job offer thing. It's gonna be cool, you know. It's a total bummer. I'd love to come with you guys.
Yeah.
And then 3 days later, that job completely fell through.
Oh man.
I totally, like, so next time anyone asks me to come on the road with them, that's happened twice now already, so.
Jeez, man.
Third time I'm taking it.
You definitely got to experience that. It's, we were all super bummed that you couldn't have tagged along, because we all had a blast with you in the studio and stuff, so that would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was awesome, man. but now you have a big new tour coming up, right, in October?
Yeah. This would be like.
Is there anything before that?
It's we're doing actually fly out in like 5 days. I'm gonna go. We've got some meetings with some, you know, like our booking agent and our manager in California. So I'll be out there for like a week, nice. And then after that we're playing a festival called Life Flight Festival in South Dakota, and we're kind of just doing like routing dates here and there. But that's only gonna be like a, I don't know, maybe like a 5-day run or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, yeah, in October, this will be like the biggest tour that we've done. Maybe even the biggest tour in the United States that I've personally done. It's For Today, Fit for a King, Gideon, Us, and Silent Planet.
Wow.
Which is kind of just like, I feel like it's kind of like a Scream the Prayer 2.0 kind of thing. But, I mean, it should be good, man. Like, I'm really, really stoked.
Right. That's a lot of dates. Some 20, 20 some dates or something, ain't it? Or
yeah, I think it's exactly a month long.
Yeah.
So.
That's so cool.
You know, you've never been on the road that long before?
Oh, I've definitely been on the road that long before. Just that's like not to that, like, we've been out, dude. Whenever we did that winter tour, that tour was like close to 2 months long, and then we were, you know, at Bryce's house for, you know, another 3.5 weeks or something like that. So.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, just like as far as like what turnouts and things like that are going to be for that tour, like that's, you know, probably going to be the biggest thing that we've done thus far. So,
well, I mean, momentum is there, man. Till the End has done pretty well. I mean, it seems like you guys are moving a lot of units, as people say. Looks like you guys are pushing like 4,500 the first week, right?
Yeah, man. We really just have, like, an insane team behind us, man. Like, it's crazy, like, you know, to go from one band to the other, just to kind of see how people, you know, operate differently and things like that. And, man, like, just to be completely honest, like, with Phineas, it was like, as soon as I got in the band, it was just kind of like, it just felt a lot more modern and just like, you know, like, people who were still really, really, really eager to make things happen, which was a nice change of pace. But, like, our team, like, over at Artery, like, are just the best, man. Like, they really, like, just go to bat for us all the time. And so it's been a really good experience.
I was just talking to Corey from Norma Jean about them being on Razor and Tie for two albums. Mm-hmm. And Artery is an imprint label for Razor and Tie, right?
I don't think it is anymore. I know that it used to be, but I don't think it is anymore.
Oh, it isn't? Oh, I didn't know that. So Artery's like on, like, it was under Razor and Tie, and now it's kind of back out on its own?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, from my understanding, that's kind of how it is. I mean, Artery has gotten a good bit bigger just within the past couple of years, so I think that they just kind of decided, like, we're just going to do this, you know?
Right.
I read in interviews, too, with the band recently of that being on something like Artery. It allows, you know, the band people, the people you guys, to do your music thing and not have to concentrate on all all the super duper fine details of everything all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's like, it's, I don't know, man. Like, it's just a lot different than what I've been used to in the past. So the whole thing is kind of, you know, just an entirely different,
yeah,
different ballpark kind of thing. But mm-hmm. it's been great though.
That's cool. Going to be doing great.
No, it's been fun too, just seeing the sales. I remember the first 2 weeks of like keeping an eye on some tweets and stuff like that. And
yeah,
like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Like,
we were honestly blown away, man. Like,
yeah,
did not expect, you know, for it to do that well for a band our size. You know, that's like just, you know, not really heard of. So I don't know, man. I know that Phineas has kind of had some hype for the past couple of years, but
right.
Even with just like Artery kind of like pumping us as hard as they have, like, we've gained a ton of new fans from it too.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, our old, you know, I don't want to call them old fans, but like just people who have been loyal over the years to sure. Phineas, like,
right. So
really helped with first week sales and stuff. So
it's just interesting too, seeing like, I mean, not a younger band like that you just started, but, mm-hmm. Compared to some of these already established, like, long-time established bands, mm-hmm. and they're having these, you know, unfortunate, like, not good numbers and stuff. It's such a bummer, but it just kind of reminds me, though, of, like, kind of audience as well. Like, there's, whether the you know, your band obviously has this passionate audience. It's like, heck yes, I'm going out and buying the album. And then there's these other artists that are like, listen to it on Spotify.
Yeah. Yeah, man, like, the thing that I kind of realize within the past few years is, like, really right around the time that I Am came out with BTA, like, just the digital age was born, and it is alive and well, man, and everything is, like, right at your fingertips, so you have to be very, very smart about, you know, being in people's faces about everything that's happening constantly, or they will kind of forget about you. But like our fans, like, we definitely do have passionate fans, but there are also those that are just like, you know, if we stop posting every single day and like trying to keep up with content, it's just like, it's really hard because there's so much going on. And the, you know, the market's even more oversaturated now than it was, you know, even a few years ago.
Yeah, because every band now wants to do that exact same thing.
Exactly.
Right.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Phineas is actually doing something that's worth posting Instagram pictures about every day, whereas other bands are like, check out the sweet picture of us in the in the diner. Here's the eggs that I got.
Cappuccino.
Here's my setup. It's the same. Yeah. It was the same stack I posted yesterday, but the lighting is different. It's like, all right, you're. I'm unfollowing you. You're boring me.
Yeah.
Is like from the road. Here's it. Check this out. You know what I mean? You guys are actually.
Yeah. And it makes it a lot easier whenever you are out on the road so much. Like, we actually, just to give you an idea, like, kind of how important social media has become, just for this industry. Like, it's really insane. And like, you know, I've got friends and people all the time that are just like, oh, like, you're always on your phone. It's just like, honestly, it's like, it's part of the job now, which sounds crazy, but it's so true. And since we have been home, you know, pretty much this whole month, we're just like, man, like, we got to try and think of just like a bunch of different things that we can do to kind of generate content, hence like the guitar playthrough video. And,
yeah.
You know, we're doing things like, like Instagram takeovers and things like that, just to kind of just, you know, give people something to, you know, I guess to be entertained for yeah, the day. Like sure. that's how it goes, you know, like I can remember growing up and, you know, seeing like a poster at like a record store about a record coming out and being like really stoked about it. And now it's just like, if it's not on Facebook every 24 seconds, like people are going to forget about it.
I've had this conversation with people before where the allure of not knowing something about a band back in the day is now what'll kill a band. Because now I need to know how much ketchup the dude puts on his potatoes. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, all right, it's like too much. But back then, it was like, I have a CD, or going further back, you have a vinyl, and I pull out this information. It's on a square foot, and that's all I got, because there wasn't the internet. I'm going way back. But it's so different now that the very thing that sold albums will now kill it.
Yeah, man, it's insane. Like, and I kind of, you know, that's one of the cool things about, you know, how long I've been doing this kind of thing now, is because I kind of saw, like, the way that things used to be kind of die off and, like, this new digital age kind of come in. So adapting to things like that have been really interesting. And I've learned a lot just from, you know, being with the Phineas guys and then kind of, you know, and being with a team that really has a good understanding of just, like, you know, because they're like a newer label and management company, so they really understand kids and, you know, what they like and how things work. Whereas, you know, before it was kind of just like, yeah, we just like put out music and we play shows, right? Like that's all that we should have to do, you know? Like, but right. Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Yeah, that's the idea that the whole like, oh, you're in a band, everyone should just buy your art and support you, and it's like, yeah, it's. Yeah, you could do that, but you could also sell like 400 albums your first week. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And there's too many. I am no more than 3 or 4 presses of my thumb away from purchasing anything that anybody has to offer from all walks. I mean, any kind of music, any kind of art, so to speak. You know, it's just when you have access to everything. Yeah. Where do you start, you know?
And that's been the scary thing, too, with the digital streaming thing, because what is it? Maybe, I know at least it was like 2 straight years of decline in digital album sales. Maybe it's 3 now. And, yeah. You know, more and more people stream and stream and stream, and the allure is there, of course. Oh, I just, if people even do pay $10 a month for it, but, I mean, it just doesn't replace that album sale, but I mean, there's some of these younger bands though that are like, it don't matter. We're still selling albums. So
yeah, man. It's I don't know. I still cannot tell you really how it works. yeah. You know, for a long time, I really thought that there was like, you know, surely there has to be some kind of like instruction booklet there, you know, somewhere that. This is the road to success, you know, but like, because some bands, like, it just works, and then some bands that it doesn't. And I can remember, you know, with BTA, it was just like, man, like, our music's good, like, why can we not just, you know, like, have the numbers that, like, August Burns Red does, or something like that, you know? But it's just like, a lot of it, I feel like, is right place, right time, as cliche as that is to say, and a lot of it is just like, really being able to figure out the best way of capturing like the biggest audience's attention, even outside of just music, you know, like I never realized like how important, not even just like your t-shirt designs are, but like what they're made out of and like all of this crazy stuff, man, like that people just latch onto.
Dude, that attention to detail stuff, like that's like that Johnny Cupcakes guy. Remember we were in Boston? We visited the shop? Yeah.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
That, there is no, like, detail left to, like, we'll just do this. No, everything, it's right down to the tag. And he charges $65 a shirt now, or
and sells them.
And sells out of them, yeah. Exactly to your point, yeah, how t-shirts fit, what brand you print your shirts on, man, that's important.
That's all important.
And another band that's, like, been really, really, really good at that, that's catching, like, a lot of steam right now, is a band called Silent Planet. They were like really good friends of ours. But Garrett, their singer, just has like an insane understanding of that kind of thing. So we've like learned a lot from him too. He's just like one of those like really like brilliant mind kind of dudes. But I don't know, man. Like some people like just kind of get it, you know. And I think that, you know, going back to, I mentioned like August Burns Red, I think JB is kind of like one of those guys.
Yeah.
Some people just have like this really good understanding of like, you know, what they think is going to work. And then, you know, some people don't. And that's, you know, just kind of how it goes.
August has always had some sort of a frantic thing about them where it was just like, oh my God, they're doing this. You have to check this out. You have to hear this. You have to see this. There's something about August Burns Red. They've always had, always had some sort of a, amidst the decline, there's still people in line to see what they're doing.
Yeah, man, and it's the longevity of it that is the crazy part, you know, because I feel like anybody can catch some steam for a little while, but it's hard to see, like, you know, it's hard to keep that train rolling, you know what I mean? Like, that's the hard part, is, like, we have, like, a really, really good team, but, you know, hopefully what we're doing will still be cool next year kind of thing, you know?
It seems to work today. Hope this works tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and that's a good part, though, about having a team doing that, like, because you have different people doing different stuff, instead of just, oh, the four people in the band doing everything.
Yeah.
So ingrained in it all the time, you can't look up and evaluate anything or think down the road.
Yeah,
so,
man.
It seems like a great segue too. We speaking of your team, thank you very much to Amy for setting this up.
Really appreciate
this is, you guys are my first official. I had to go to management to get a hold of you.
Because
I was advised to do that by somebody on this call who was a fan.
But it was funny, like, I don't know, a month or so ago. I work with Amy Adam Splitter, and she sends me the photos to update the website or whatever. And so I see all these band photos all the time. Like, wait, I know that guy. That's Daniel. Like, that's where I reached out to you a little while ago. And,
yeah.
But like I said, I've been working with her more. And then Travis told me he was talking to you. I'm like, dude, hit up Amy, man. Let's do that. Let's be legit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I got to learn to be legit before I, you know, before I burn bridges with people and they'd be like, well, that guy never tells the right people. So. I want to talk to you about one more thing before we let you go. I have to say that I'm super. I don't even know the other guys in your band, and I don't really know you that well. But I will say that I'm super proud about something. There's a lot of discussion on this podcast and a lot of other popular podcasts right now, where there's always the Christians in a band versus a Christian band, or a couple of us are Christians, but we don't really want to put that out there. Yeah, not Phineas. You guys have pretty much taken a hard line on where you're at. It says right on your biography on your Facebook page, was formed with a simple purpose to be a band of Christians that brings the hope of Jesus to the hopeless and rejected. Whether you're a believer or not, you have to respect a stand like that. I think that's kind of neat and refreshing to hear nowadays. I'm not saying nobody else is doing it, but it seems like a lot more popular to say, well, we're Christians, but the band isn't.
Yeah.
You
know what I
mean? And you guys look like you took a hard line on it. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, man. So like, I've kind of decided just for you know my own personal self that anytime I'm playing music, like it's gonna be to glorify God. That's just the way it is, you know. That's what I want to do, and mm-hmm. I happen to be with a group of guys who all have the same feel on that, and you know it's cool because we've kind of found out like it is kind of tricky because you have to be careful. Because, you know, we want to get our message out and we want to do all of these things to glorify God, but at the same time, we don't want to preach to the choir all day. Sure. And in order to do that, you know, that was like, you have to just make really smart decisions on like, well, you know, we could only tour with these bands, but you kind of get stuck in like this bubble, which you don't want to be in. You know, as a Christian, like you're wanting, you know, you're not doing very much good to just tell all those people that already know about Christ, you know? So it's
right,
like,
right.
It's interesting to, you know, for lack of a better word, I guess like we're touring like a lot of secular, like I don't even like to call it that, but it's, you know, but, touring with a lot of bands like that. And like, it's been really cool because a lot of ministry can take place there too. And, you know, we're just like dudes who just like to hang out and have a good time, you know? And a lot of people, like, you know, really respect us. People ask me all the time, like, oh, you guys tour with a lot of bands that aren't Christian. Like, do you catch crap for that? It's like, no, like, just, like, don't be a douche, and then people won't think you're a douche, you know? Like,
Boy, is that a part of it. I've read many different versions of many different Bibles, and I just wish there was a more clear, just don't be a douche about it verse in there.
For sure.
Would really help.
I could not agree more, man. Like, but yeah, like, you know, we would never, you know, try to like hide the fact that we're Christians for any type of success or anything. I don't think, like, because some people think that that's what you need to do, and that's not the case. It's kind of just like just deciding like how you want to market yourself and how, you know, kind right. of figuring out with your team, you know, what kind of crowds to put you in front of and everything. And you can still do – we still do the same thing that Phineas has always done, you know.
Yeah.
It's just in a different light, and we're not stuck in just, you know, playing youth group rooms all the time kind of thing. You know, we're getting to play a lot of these different places to a lot of kids who wouldn't technically, you know, hear our music had we not been on certain tours and things like that. So,
right on.
Yeah.
That's cool. I commend the hard line. I think that's pretty neat.
Well, thanks, man.
We tried to do the same thing where it was like, this is what we're about. You can't understand a word that our singer is saying anyway. So whatever. You want to come talk to us, it's cool. But we played with, oh my God, I'm nervously flaking out on the guy's name. Josh from, come on, the name of his band, Cephalic Carnage.
Oh yeah.
Dude, one of the nicest dudes I've ever met, and he's just like, I'm high all day, and I'm just totally into doing what I do, and then we're like the Christian tech metal.
Yeah. You know?
And I don't think I met a nicer guy while I was in Crutch. Like, it's, it doesn't have to be I'm afraid of that scene, I'm going to play over here to this church and sell shirts
to man.
People that already, it just seems a little... cowardly.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I feel, you know, God just calls us to love on people no matter what. Like, you know, we just, like, want to be positive influences to people and just, like, just be nice to people. Like, just because someone's into something different than you. Like, I can remember, you know, us posting pictures of, like, supporting other bands on their release days and stuff and, you know, some fans kind of freaking out and just like, oh, like that's not a Christian band. Like, that's a little weird, you know, and it's just like, no, like, those are our friends, like, you know, just because, like, we might not, like, totally support, like, their belief system, like, we're still our friends,
right.
You know, they're still our friends, we're still gonna lift them up and just, like, show them love, you know, and that's what I think a lot of people could gain from having an understanding of that, and things would be a lot easier when it comes to that whole, like, Christian or not Christian thing, you know?
Thing, yeah.
Christian or not, or band or whatever, like you said that you're promoting another artist's album release. Like when that band does good, you like that just does good for everybody.
Exactly.
And, And when some friend that isn't a Christian does good, like they have good things in their life, that's awesome. Like,
yeah,
like,
totally.
High five.
It's kind of the point.
Like, yeah, man.
Like, yeah, yeah, exactly. So good on you. That was refreshing to read. It's, you know, whether you're I think most of our listening audience, all handfuls of them, would be on board with it. But for those that are listening that aren't and think that that's weak or stupid or something like that,
whatever.
Yeah, that's fine. There's all different color paint out there, man.
Yeah, man.
It's a shame that you only like one, you know?
I think that our main objective, you know, when touring with people who aren't believers in things, is just to, like, not all Christians are crazy people. Like, trust me, I know they're out there. I know a lot of them. Like, but it's just, like, you know, it doesn't have to be like that. Like I said, we're just, right, like, dudes who just, like, we like to hang out and have a good time like everybody else, you know?
I've come to the conclusion that most Christians aren't crazy, but the crazy ones, they make so much freaking noise.
Absolutely.
That it just, it just rings all the wrong bells, and it makes people just disgusted with the whole thing. And it's like, I actually kind of believe the same thing that they do. There's just no way that I'm going to act like that about it.
Yeah.
They're misinterpreting a lot, you know?
For sure.
They missed the don't be a douche verse.
There it is.
We'll put that one in the show notes.
Galatians, I think, is where that's at.
It's in Galatians. I'll pencil it in. That's awesome. Softball question time. What are you listening to?
Oh, man. It's pretty different, I guess. A lot of people wouldn't expect this, but Bryce and I have been on, like, this huge, like, pop punk kick lately, like, on a lot of long drives.
Okay.
So, like, but not, like, super simple pop punk. Like, we'll listen to, like, a lot of, like, old, like, 4 Year Strong and stuff, which, like, those dudes had to have, like, listened to a bunch of metal growing up, because all, like, it's all riffs, and it's just, like, basically metal in a major key, and it's just awesome, and it, like, keeps you awake, and it's just a lot of fun. So, like, we've been listening to, like, a lot of that.
I've never heard 4 Year Strong. I've never even heard of them.
Yeah, man. They're like, there's a big, like, kind of just like pop punk scene that is like.
Aren't they part of like in that same scene of like a Day to Remember in them?
I think they kind of were for a
ish?
While, but
okay,
it's totally not the same at all. Like, they don't really do like breakdowns or like, you know, anything really like super typical kind of. But I mean, it's just fun, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, man, like, I don't know, like, I don't really listen to, like, a whole lot of metal. I kind of just, like, I honestly don't really have time to listen to a whole lot of music unless I'm touring, and then it's just kind of like whatever anybody has on in the van.
Right.
To be honest.
Yeah, so. That's so many people in the genre of metal, like, when you ask them that, like, so many people are like, I can't listen to that after a show, or, you know, you always have to be listening to different stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
I will
literally listen to, like, when I'm writing, it sounds crazy, but I will literally listen to, like, top 40 pop. Just for the sole purpose of, like, those song structures and, like, those artists, like, are super successful and famous for a reason, and their song structures have been, like, crafted over, you know, decades and decades of, like, people mastering, like, how to write songs. And it's been really cool to, like, kind of apply that to metal in, a, like, a more, like, verse, chorus, bridge, you know, type formula.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's kind of my approach, I guess, on writing. Like, I don't like to listen to a whole lot of metal when I write because it's really easy to get, like, things stuck in your head and, like, accidentally steal riffs and things like that, you know, like, so.
I just like the mentality of instead of immediately shutting it down, look at it as, okay, maybe I'm not a big fan of this music, but what can I learn from it?
Hey, you know? It works, man. Yeah, it's a moneymaker for a reason, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I can roll my eyes when I walk into a I'm walking through a warehouse for my job, and I hear Taylor Swift, Bad Blood. And because I've heard it 8 times that day and I don't even have it, it's just out there so much, you know, that the first thing I want to do is bitch.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the day, I'm like, humming it, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't let anybody know that.
Yeah, man.
But, I mean, it's designed to. It's infectious. It's like it's kind of like a disease. It's a regenerative virus. It's just designed to get in there and do what it does. You know.
Yeah, man, dude. If I had the job to like write those songs and make the type of money that those people do, like, sign me up, man. Like, that would be awesome. Like, after all the, you know, touring and metal is said and done, like, that would just be the sweetest gig ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Feet up, guitar in the hand, whatever.
Yeah. Got this. Whatever you need to do.
staring out on the balcony at the ocean. Yeah. I could be into that.
Yeah, man.
I've given it some thought, you know.
Hey, man, Kerry King tore off a solo in a Beastie Boys song, and Eddie Van Halen tore one off in a Michael Jackson song.
There's
room in pop music for that kind of stuff if you're very careful and you have that lightning in a bottle kind of moment. Dude, rip it apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Dude, Eddie Van Halen, like, kept that a secret for, like, a really long time, like, from
That's
his true. Band and stuff.
That's true.
Which is just crazy to me, because they were just like, you know, he didn't want him to think he was like a sissy, like, playing on pop songs and stuff, but just like, nah, dude, that solo shreds, and that's like, you know, one of the biggest artists in the entire world. Like,
it's one of the biggest songs ever.
Yeah, man, it's just like, sign me up, dude, I don't care if you think I'm a sissy or not, like, I will gladly play on a Katy Perry track, I don't care.
Heck yeah.
Well, I think we got a lot out of the way. I really like hearing some of the stuff that you said. I'm still fascinated as a 40-year-old guy who ran at it as hard as he could until he just couldn't. I had to go home and have babies and get a job. And I didn't have the babies. You know what I meant.
If you did, that would be really impressive.
I still have the sympathy weight, though. That's weird.
Yeah.
But I'm just more and more fascinated at we live in Georgia, or you live in Georgia, two dudes are in Cali, one's in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Norma Jean, two guys live in Salt Lake City. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? It just blows my mind that musicians are so scattered, and Torch, they're in like California, Georgia, two in Florida, but one's in like Gainesville and the other's in Miami, which is like countries apart. Florida's freaking long, you know?
Florida's too big.
Yeah, Florida's a big state.
Dude.
And it just blows my mind that's the nature of things now. And it's pretty neat that you guys are doing what you're doing. And Phineas is no joke. And I laughed pretty hard in doing some research for you. You guys have everything from the new video that looks like, wow, you guys put serious time, effort, and money into a video like that.
Yeah, man.
Scroll a little bit further down, and I guess it was before you were in the band, but they were, like, destroying, like, a mini golf course.
Oh, yeah, dude, yeah. We actually, I would love to, like, I wasn't in that video, but I would love it if we did another video like that, because it seems like so much fun. A lot of the content we've been posting recently has just been more, like, kind of funny stuff, because people love that, dude. Like,
yeah, I'm not joking around when I tell you, I watch a lot of drum videos because I play the drums, and I'm that guy. I'm that nerd that reposts and, oh my god, you gotta watch this guy's chops and technical this and that.
Yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite drumming moments ever on video just happened recently because of your drummer, when he was smashing a crash cymbal in time with two miniature golf clubs and flipping them as he was doing it.
Yeah.
I was like, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I know it's fake and he wasn't really playing it. It was just for the video and everything, but still.
Yeah, man.
Come on, dude. I can't do that, you know?
Yeah, it's just fun, man. Like, anything like that. Like, like I said, dude, we just like to goof off and, like, have a good time, you know? Like, so things like that are super fun.
You guys just don't sit around and talk about how brutal you are and just scowl and get angry. And
yeah.
No.
Just grunt on the way to shows when we talk to one another.
Scare old ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure we do that anyways, but...
True,
Probably a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to Phineas on this next tour. Stay safe. I hear a lot of stories about vans blowing up and having to get rentals and stuff.
man.
Or theft. Yeah. No way.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you take a fifth person to constantly always be near your van and trailer. If I hear about one more trailer...
Oh. Oh, man.
Come on, man.
St. Louis, dude. It's killing us.
What happened?
St. Louis. That's where everybody's getting robbed and stuff. We have to, like, schedule shifts One person sitting in the van at all times when we're in places like St. Louis and like Montreal, like a lot of just like the like really like sketchy areas. It's pretty crazy stuff, man.
Montreal, really?
Yeah, there's a lot of pretty crazy areas over there.
I hadn't heard.
All right. Well, be safe.
Yeah, man. No, thanks for your time. We appreciate you spending some time with us. Thanks again, Amy.
Yeah.
Amazing. Super
good
cool.
stuff.
Super
Absolutely, cool. dude. It's great talking to you, dudes.
Yeah, man. We'll see you out there.
Stay in touch.
Later, dude.
Cool. See you guys.
All right.
We love you. Take care. Bye-bye.